I'll take responsibility. I'll handle it. I'll pay the price. And God says, in what I'm going to do, I'm going to cause enmity between you and the woman, between your children and her children, and your offspring is going to bruise the head of her son, and he shall bruise his heel. God takes extreme ownership of our sin when we cannot. Can you say amen today? And what we cannot do in and of ourselves, God says, I will do for you. But notice this, in the doing of it, in God sending his son into the world, in God changes the attitude and the atmosphere of true love by allowing Jesus to die on the cross. That attitude, that disposition, that demeanor of Jesus Christ, it changes our attitude, or at least it should. Do you believe that today? See, very often, beloved, when we think about real repentance, we typically view repentance as turning away from sins, lowercase s. And turning away from sins, lowercase s, is important. Do you believe that today? But according to what we see in Genesis, according to the experiment scientific that we just held, what happens first and foremost when sin enters into the world, real repentance is far more than just turning away from sins. Real repentance is turning towards salvation, towards God, and towards life more abundant. Can you say amen? Real repentance, I submit to you today, Chandler Church, is extreme ownership. Owning your world, your mistakes, your failures, and your shortcomings. Acknowledging they are yours and of yourself, and that you need to turn to God in order to be saved. Do you believe that today? I believe today, beloved, that this concept is most clearly conveyed to us in one of the first calls to repentance made in Scripture. You remember that call to repentance when John the Baptist came preaching by the banks of the Jordan River. And the Bible tells us in Matthew chapter 3, verse 1 through 3, that during those days and during those times, John the Baptist came preaching in the wilderness of Judea saying, what's that word, everyone? Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. For this, meaning Jesus, is he who was spoken of by the prophet Isaiah, saying, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make Jesus' path straight. He's coming. Can you say amen? He's coming soon. Can you say amen? And because he's coming soon, we need to turn from death, turn from blaming, turn from hiding, and turn towards Jesus Christ in life. John goes on. We are understanding that John was clothed in camel hair with a belt around his waist. Food, he was eating locusts and wild honey. He was a quite humble man of simple means. And then Jerusalem and all Judea and all the region around went out to John. And they were what? What were they, everyone? They were baptized of John. And what did they do? Help me out. What did they do? They took extreme ownership of all that they were and all that they weren't. And although they were turning away from sins, lowercase s, and confessing those sins, now watch this, and this is very important. Now watch this, Chandler Church, and this is very important. But when John saw many of the Pharisees, who did I say, everybody? The? And the Sadducees, who did I say, everyone? The? Coming for baptism. They were coming to the pool. They were coming. You see that? They were coming. He said to them, you brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the wrath that is to come? Therefore, bring forth what? What's that word, everyone? Fruit in keeping with repentance. What's John saying? John is saying, you cats that are coming to the baptism, you're not coming with real repentance. You're not doing it. You're putting on a show. You're putting on an act. But you better get it right. And do not suppose that you can say to yourselves, we have Abraham for our father. For I say to you that God is able to raise up from these stones children to Abraham. And the axe is already laid at the root of the trees. Every tree that does not bear what? Everyone help me out. Good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Now think about this for a second. Think about this with me for a second. What did Chandler Church, the Pharisees, and the Sadducees have to repent from? These were religious leaders who kept the Ten Commandments to a meticulous nth degree. These were religious leaders who would tithe so much that they would tithe of the mint, anise, and cumin that was in their garden. These were religious leaders who believed so much in the health message that they would not drink from cups and dishes that were unclean or even with a spot of dust or dirt. These were religious leaders who held so fast to the Sabbath day that they would only take so many steps on that day and rebuked other people who would enjoin to do so. They kept the Ten Commandments to the nth degree. What did they have to repent for? You see, beloved, John says that real repentance is extreme ownership. It's honesty, sincerity, and transparency with God about what you are like. And twice, John mentions that if we are to repent, our repentance must bear what? What's that word he uses? Fruit. The fruit that John is referring to as he rebukes these Pharisees and these Sadducees, I believe strongly, Chandler Church, are the fruits that we study in Galatians chapter 5, verse 22 and 23, the fruits of the Spirit. And these fruits of the Spirit that are manifest in Galatians, love, peace, joy, long-suffering, goodness, gentleness, kindness, faithfulness, self-control, can only be manifested when one is at peace with themselves and with God. Are you following me? We cannot manifest these fruits if we are not at peace with God because we have not took extreme ownership and really repented. Are you following me? Someone out there is skeptical today. Let us go back to the lab. And as an illustration in the science lab, I would like to use for you today the polygraph or lie detector. Do you know how a lie detector works, everybody? Can it measure your lies, yes or no? No. The lie detector measures your level of anxiety. And so when you are sitting there and you are being interviewed by the police or the polygraph attendant, they are discerning and interpreting your level of anxiety, whether or not you have truly been genuine and really come clean, whether you have taken extreme ownership of what you have done and who you are. Are you following me? So if you have not taken extreme ownership, and for me this is evidence that there is a God in existence, you may lie to their face, but your body expresses anxiety because it is not at peace with God. Are you following me? So when John says to the Pharisees who are walking around sullen and angry and hard-hearted and unhappy, John is saying that the religion of Jesus Christ doesn't do that to people. Amen? And if we have true repentance in our hearts and our lives with who we are, Jesus Christ comes into our hearts and our lives with who we are, and he fills our lives with love, with joy, with peace, because Jesus has loved us, because Jesus has given us a peace that passes all understanding, with long suffering, because Jesus has been patient with us in all of our sins, with kindness to others who don't deserve it, because we know that Jesus has been kind to us, with goodness to all those we come in contact with, because we know how many times we have not been good towards God, with gentleness towards other people, because we realize in our sinful nature, in taking extreme ownership, how gentle God has been with us along the way. Are you with me here today? When we take extreme ownership, beloved, that is real repentance. When we say, I know it, I affirm it, I'm a sinner, I did it, I am it, I need Jesus. I need Jesus. Then Jesus comes in. He's so faithful. And he lives in our heart. And he cleanses our sins. And he purifies us wholly and completely. And he does for us what we can't do for ourselves. Because we admit through extreme ownership, I can't do it for myself. But the Pharisees and the Sadducees and the religion and the interpretation that they taught said, you can do it. You're not trying hard enough. And Jesus said to them, you're dishonest, you're lying, and you're putting burdens upon people that you yourselves cannot even bear. The opposite, beloved, the opposite of real repentance and extreme ownership is the blame game. Can you say amen? And today, at this very hour, I see it in our denomination, in our church, in our theology, with men I love and I respect, but respectfully disagree with their theology when they tell us that Jesus won't come because we're not holy enough. And the second coming hasn't occurred because we haven't reached sinless perfection. Friends of mine, I don't find that in the Word of God. God's timing is perfect. Amen. Jesus knows just what he's doing. Amen. And Jesus knows how to cleanse and purify his people. Can you say amen? And perhaps instead of us attaining sinless perfection, Jesus is waiting for us to have extreme ownership, real repentance, and say, Lord, if we're going to be saved, it's only going to be by you. You see, beloved, when we think as Seventh-day Adventist Christians of our heroes in the Bible, first and foremost comes to my mind is Daniel. If we as Seventh-day Adventists, which we don't, had a patron saint, it would be Daniel, wouldn't it? Daniel, he was so great, he kept the law. Daniel was so great, he didn't bow to the idol. Daniel was so great, he was a vegetarian. Daniel was so great, he prayed to God in prayer meeting in the lion's den and was unaffected. And sometimes we view Daniel as on parallel with Jesus and we say, we want to be like Daniel. But perhaps today, Chandler Church, the greatest thing about Daniel was not all the good things that Daniel did, but when Daniel repented for his wrongdoing, how he did it. You recall in Daniel chapter 9, when Daniel needed to understand and interpret prophecy, Daniel did not know what the visions that God had given to his people meant. So the Bible tells us that Daniel gets down on his knees and he appeals to God for God's grace, his spirit, his understanding, and his wisdom. And as Daniel speaks to God, he says this in Daniel chapter 9 and verse 4. Daniel says, O Lord, the great and awesome God who keeps his covenant with those who love him. God is faithful. Can you say amen today? Daniel goes on to say, and keeps his commandments. We notice, Daniel doesn't say he, she, they. Daniel in the lion's den. Daniel who did not bow before the idol. Daniel who would not eat the meats. When Daniel was talking to God about the sins of Israel, Daniel included himself in the heart and takes extreme ownership. We have sinned. Me, Daniel, including as a leader, I have done wrong. Daniel, as a leader, have been wicked and rebelled. I, as a leader, have turned away from your commandments and laws. Daniel, as a leader, have not listened to your servants and your prophets. Can you say amen? Too often, Chandler Church, instead of me or we play the blame game and we say it's he or she or them. Don't we do it? As a pastor who has had the privilege to work with families in our church, as a marriage counselor, I see this dynamic so much in broken homes, huh? And all of us who have ever been united in a union or a marriage, all of us here today, don't care how long you've been married, the longer you've been married, the more you know. Amen? All of us know that in this sinful world, in our marriages, in our homes, we play this blame game. And very often when individuals want to come to pastor for marriage counseling, sometimes they come with the misperception that pastor is going to pick the winner or the loser. Pastor, can my husband and yourself come to marriage counseling so you can tell my husband what he needs to be? And then when pastor and husband and missus all sit down and we all talk together about what all of us, including pastor, are doing wrong, people get upset because they didn't expect pastor to not be on their side. Let me ask you this, Chandler Church. When Joshua was getting ready for his invasion and the angel of the Lord appeared to him and Joshua said, "Hey, angel of the Lord, Jesus, angel of the Lord, whose side are you on, ours or theirs?" What did Jesus say? "Neither. I'm here as captain of the host of the Lord's army and you can be on my side or not." Friends and families, married couples, units, teams, and groups. Today, when we come together to be better as the unit that we are, we have to take extreme ownership, all of us, and acknowledge all of us of where all of us are failing as leaders to promote and forward the mission. Are you with me here today? Extreme ownership and real repentance is the opposite of the blame game. And when we take extreme ownership, when we acknowledge before God who and what we are, Jesus said that truth that we found in the lab, that truth we found on the lie detector that measures our anxiety, the truth of what we are, we can bring that to God. And that truth will do what? What will it do, Chandler Church? It'll set us free. See, that's what Jocko Willink and Leif Babin say in their book. That throughout the course of our lives as leaders, no matter if we're Navy SEALs fighting the toughest battles in life or husbands and wives or church leaders, that we're all going to fail. And when we fail, we can own it. We can own it, admit it, and acknowledge it. Or we can avoid it, hide from it, and go deeper into delusion. And by the way, God tells us that that will happen. You know that, right? The Word of God predicts that to us in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 10 through 12. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 10 through 12, the Bible says that as it pertains to the coming of the lawless one, the Antichrist, according to the working of Satan with all powers, signs, lying, and wonders, and with all unrighteousness and all unrighteous deception among those who perish because they did not receive the love of the truth that they might be saved. Does that only apply to Adventists and Catholics in the very last moments of earth history? Yes or no? No. 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 It applies to you and I right now, right here, as fathers, as mothers, as disciples, as daughters, as sons, as elders, as pastors, as teachers, as co-workers. Whatever it is in our life that we are deficient or falling short, let's own it so we can bring it to Jesus and have Him cure it. Can you say amen today? Because when we don't, the devil longs to get a foothold in our life. Like he got a foothold in the life of Cain, who slew his brother Abel. And God came to Cain while the Holy Spirit was working on his heart to let Cain know that his offering of vegetables weren't in accordance with God's perfect plan. That only the slain lamb, the righteousness of Christ, could save people, not their works and the fruit of their labor. And as the Holy Spirit pled with Cain, he resisted and he resisted and he resisted and he resisted and he blamed until, who did he blame? Who did he blame? He blamed God and he blamed Abel. And what did he do to Abel? He killed him. Strong delusion. Bible also tells us in the New Testament the story of a man who was on the side of the road hungry and dying. And as that man was hungry and dying, a religious leader of the people of Israel, saw that man, a commandment keeper, a Sabbath keeper, or so he thought. And he walked past that dying man on the ground on the other side of the street. Didn't want to get dirty. But a Samaritan, a pagan, who was outside their religion, saw the man on the ground dying, and he rushed to his aid. He mended his wounds and bandaged him up, put him on his donkey, and paid for him to have a room to stay in. And Jesus, working in the hearts and the minds of his listeners and his hearers, in order to lead them towards real repentance, not just religious activities, Jesus said, which one did the will of the Father? We have to take ownership of who and what we are. Amen? We have to take a look not just in the physical mirror, but in the spiritual mirror. Amen? And as we see ourselves for what we really are, we need to let God in. And when we let God in, beautiful, miraculous, true works of God will happen. I think of the New Testament story of Zacchaeus up in the tree. And Zacchaeus saw Jesus and the beauty of Jesus as Jesus spoke and ministered to people. And as that faith in his heart, that trust in Jesus welled up, Jesus, amidst all the hustle and the bustle, began looking to Zacchaeus. And he saw with Zacchaeus' eyes of faith. And he said, sir, I would love to come to your house and visit with you. So he goes to Zacchaeus' house. And can you imagine, beloved, someday we will, sitting down and having dinner with Jesus. I can't wait. And Zacchaeus sits with Jesus and sees his love and his compassion and his forgiveness, that Jesus washes it all away, that God doesn't judge or condemn him. The love of God wells up in his heart as he doesn't hide his heart from God, but lets God clean it because that's what God does. Zacchaeus says, you know what, Jesus? You're so good to me. I'm going to give back everything I had to people fourfold. I'm not only going to give back what I took. I'm going to give more than I have. That's real repentance. That's extreme ownership. Are you with me? That's the attitude that changes not only boat crew too, but it changes the world. Do you follow me, Chandler Church? And God has called us not to come here at 11 o'clock every Saturday to fill our pew. God has called us, believe it or not, if you believe yourself to be a disciple of Jesus Christ, God has called us to change the world. Do you believe that today? So understand this today. As those who have been called to change the world but are imperfect, we, like Jocko Willink and Leif Babin say, we are going to fail. And we as instructors in Coronado, we specifically and intentionally put those young seamen in these difficult situations to make them fail. That's what we did. We caused them to fail to see how they mentally respond to their failures. And Jocko Willink and Leif Babin, they say this, the biggest, strongest muscle heads, the loudest talkers who said that they were going to be Navy SEALs, they're the first ones to wash out. Because they can't admit, they can't acknowledge, they can't handle their failure. And that's the trick, the secret. That buds is not about who's the strongest or who's the fastest, but like Jesus said, the race goes not to the swift or the strong, but he who endures to the end. Because in life, in business, in families, in combat, even with our perfectly laid plans, at times everything's going to go wrong. And when it goes wrong, we can jump on each other, we can blame one another, we can blame our situations, we can blame our circumstances, we can blame the lot we've been given in life. Or we can take extreme ownership of our life. We can give our life to God and say, Father God in heaven, I am a failure. I do fail regularly. Please do in me and for me that which I am not able to do for myself. Friends of mine, failure is an acronym. It is our first attempt in learning. And this learning process that we are in is a lifelong process. Do you believe that? That's why Peter says, please continue to grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Because we're going to make mistakes. Our wives are going to make mistakes. Our husbands are going to make mistakes. Our pastors, our presidents, and so on and so forth. And we can help to put them down. We can blame them. We can show them no love, no support, no encouragement. Or we can say, hey, let's own this thing together and let's work towards a solution. Can you say amen? And you know what? Even when you fail at that first attempt in learning, the great thing about our God is that He allows us to learn over and over and over again. Peter came to Jesus and said, Jesus, hey, Jesus, I'm a pretty patient guy. I love people a lot. But you know what? When someone does wrong to me one time, I want to get back at them. How many times, Jesus, do I have to forgive someone? Like maybe two, maybe three, maybe four. You know what, Jesus? You know how good of a guy I am as Peter? How about seven times? If I forgive my friend seven times, I'm right with you, right, Lord? Jesus says, no, you're not right at all. 70 times seven. You forgive and you love and you support and you encourage and you inspire with your attitude until you can't forgive and love and inspire anymore. You take extreme ownership of what you are and how much of a failure you are. And how many times God has given you grace, and you give that grace back to other people. Do you believe that today? And friends of mine, for all of us who have failed as many times, 70 times, 7 times, like Pastor Shane, the good news is that right now, while probation is still open, we have a high priest in heaven, a mediator, who allows us to come day and night to the throne of grace and mercy to confess our sins, to take extreme ownership of what we are and what we did that very day. And that very day, that very hour, that very moment where we come to Christ, acknowledging what we are and what we did, He cleanses us and purifies us from how much of our unrighteousness? Help me out, Chandler Church. All of it, the whole thing. And if our heart and our flesh and our sinful body, do you know that your very DNA wants to blame you? Do you know that? If your heart itself says you're a loser, you're a failure, the sin in your flesh says you don't be able or deserve to go to heaven. The Bible tells us, John said, God is so good and so much love that if our hearts condemn us, God is even greater than our hearts. Hallelujah. Just own it. What can we hide from God, beloved, huh? Not a single thing. And the great news is that our God has not hidden anything from us. God does not want us to dwell on our failures and our misfortunes. And this is what the great philosopher Voltaire posited. He said, the longer we dwell on our misfortunes, the greater is their power to harm us. Extreme ownership here today, and let's clarify this, church. Extreme ownership is not torturing yourselves for your sins. You know that, right? Extreme ownership is being honest with yourself for what your sin is, taking that sin to God and laying it down at His feet where Jesus can do for you only what Jesus does. Why do we lay it down? And to pick it back up, huh? Take it with us. Why do we forgive other people? To keep a diary of everything that they've done wrong. I'll tell you the truth, Chandler Church. I was in a church not too long ago in a galaxy far, far away where we had board meetings and the church had a school. And one of the ladies on the board did not like one of the teachers at the school and she wanted to get the teacher fired. So she literally had a diary journal of times and dates of all the things that she perceived this lady to do and to do wrong. And it had multiple pages. She brought it to the board meeting. She was prepared to be that lady's recording angel. That's not what God does to us. That's not what God wants for us. And that's not real repentance. You can't do that and be that and bear the fruits of love and goodness, kindness, faithfulness, and gentleness. Do you follow me today? I ask you not to follow me today. But today, as we draw to our close here and now, I ask you, Chandler Church, to follow Jesus. And for all of us who are struggling with us, with what we are and with what we aren't, in order to have real repentance and do the opposite of the blame game, we have to take extreme ownership here and now today. Be honest with ourselves and be honest with God, that God might transform our hearts and our lives. Are you with me here? If you're with me here today, Chandler Church, today as our pianist plays our closing song, we want to thank Jen so much for her special gift of music that she has brought to our church. I want to have a special prayer today for all those who would be willing to join me in my personal journey of taking extreme ownership in my life. And for those of you who know that you have sins or habits or character dispositions or attitudes that are causing your boat crew to fail, I want to invite you and welcome you to come forward, not to me, but to come forward to the Lord Jesus Christ and acknowledge before the Lord Jesus Christ today what you need to acknowledge in your heart, in your mind, in your life, as you take extreme ownership for who and what you are.